to the sixth chapter of Ephesians. As we continue our study tonight on spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6. Now I'm just going to tell you something ahead of time. Brother Theodore over here found out on the back page that I've got something in there twice. What happened was I clipped and copied and put it in, and then I got a phone call, and then I clipped and copied and put it in again. So anyway, letter D is in there twice, but maybe it needs to be in there twice because maybe God needs to tell it to us twice. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to be reading verses 13 and first part of 14, but let me again back up to verse 10 and let's get a running start into it tonight. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Father, I come to you tonight asking that you'll speak to our hearts. Speak to my heart, Lord. I pray that you'll give us wisdom that comes directly from your Spirit being with us. I thank you for your word that it's true, always correct, always right, and it will always lead us. And Lord, you so much want us to follow you. And so, Lord, I pray that we will tonight. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the last 4 weeks we've been leading up to the actual pieces of the spiritual armor. This is just a picture that I put in there just so you can see a rendering of a Roman soldier. And many of the pieces of a Roman soldier's armor are actually used in Paul's description of the armor of God. And so we're going to be looking at those pieces tonight. We're going to talk about the armor of God, but remember, it's His power and it's His armor. It's not the armor of Rod, it's the armor of God. It's not the armor of Paul, it's the armor of God. It's not the armor of any of us, it's the armor of God. Okay? So it's His power and it's His armor. We cannot stand in our own power, nor can we fight this battle with our own armor. Why? Because we don't have what it takes to deflect or to defend ourselves from the attacks of the evil one in and of ourselves. If we did, we would need God, right? But we certainly do need God, and we certainly do need His power, and we certainly do need His armor. What we have in and of ourselves is corruptible, and that's the problem. Everything within us is corruptible. Everything within us can fail us. Except for one thing, and that's God Himself. And that's why He sent His Holy Spirit into this world to live inside of us, to walk alongside of us, and to encourage us. His armor, by the way, is impenetrable. There's nothing that the evil one can do. There's nothing that any power in this universe can do to God Himself. And we're talking about the armor of God. And so since we're talking about God's armor and putting it on, there's nothing that can also attack us that could penetrate the armor of God that's on us. It says in this passage to put on the full armor of God. In other words, what good would it do if we went out with just the helmet on? Well, let me tell you something. That's what many Christians do. The helmet, by the way, is the helmet of salvation. Many people get saved and that's all. They're not going to do anything else. I'm done. I got my ticket to heaven. That's it. That's not what God's called us to do. We need to put on the full armor of God. We cannot fight the fight with part of the armor on. In fact, we're not like in a shopping trip choosing which pieces that we want. Okay, I'll take the helmet and the sword. I look pretty cool that way. No. It's not take this one and this one, leave this one out. Forget this one. Don't need it. Every piece that Paul talks about the armor of God is incredibly important. James chapter 1, verse 4, remind ourselves of this. Let perseverance finish its work so that it may be mature and complete. What does it say? Not lacking anything. So in other words, we need to put on the full armor of God. It's His armor. We need to put it all on. Secondly, in the first part of verse 14, it says and let me just read it. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. The belt of truth buckled around your waist. Girded is a word that's used in the King James, but literally it's talking about the belt. Now, on that note, can you go back to that one right before that, Wayne? See the belt that's there? That belt, it keeps us from giving in to the world's beliefs. Compare your beliefs and actions to the truth of the Word of God. The belt was there to hold everything else in place. The belt of truth, the belt literally comes from the Latin term cingulum or balteus. Why is this first mentioned? Why the belt of truth first? Why not the helmet? Why not the sword? Well, first of all, the order places a significance on truth. Literally says, gird about your loins. The Greek term here is parazominoi, which means having been surrounded by. Now, take that into thought for just a minute and think of what it's saying. Surround yourself with truth. There's so many people that live with deception in their life, whether they're the ones deceiving or they're being deceived. They live in a world of deception. Paul says, no, put on truth. Everything about us ought to be truth because we serve the God of truth. We must be surrounded by this belt first. It's preeminent in the discussion of putting on the whole armor of God. It secures all the other pieces, as Matthew Henry says, and what I was mentioning in that picture. It holds everything else into place. Put on the belt of truth. Truth, the Greek term is aletheia, not only means truth, but it's a personification of truth. In other words, we don't just speak the truth. We live the truth. We walk the truth. In fact, what did Jesus say about Himself? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one who says that we are to put on the truth completely. If you put on Jesus, you're putting on the truth. John chapter 17, verse 17 says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So here's a picture, folks. Do you want more truth in your life? What should you be putting in? God's word. More and more. The more you put in God's word into your life, the more you can live in the truth of God. Pouring God's word into your life. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 27. We'll be looking at a lot of verses tonight. For the Lord Almighty has purpose, and who can thwart Him? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? You see, His truth is going to march on. His truth is marching on. It will. Nothing will be able to stop the truth of God. Now, the evil one's trying. He's trying desperately. And in some cases, in this world, he's doing pretty well. But the bottom line is this. One day, the truth will prevail, period. Constantly. It will be over. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 says, but test them all. Hold on to what is true. When Paul was talking to the church at Thessalonica, he says, look at all these things, and you have to test them and see what's right and what's not right. The things that are right, hold on to those things. We are to test all things and then hold on to what is true and right. The things that God has told us according to His Word. In fact, He is the solid rock, right? He's the one that we are to stand on, the one that we are to build on. He is the one that we know that if we stick up with His Word, with His Spirit, and do what He says, then everything else will be okay. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Oops, did I miss something here? Okay, there we go. Therefore, who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. You see, it's impossible to stand on anything that's not true. We must stand on the solid rock. The belt of truth encompasses us or covers us and protects us. When we live in the truth, by the way, we are protected by God. You know why? Because God protects truth. He is truth. Okay? He protects truth, so we need to live in truth. And you might say, well, how do you know for sure whether something's true or not? That's what the Holy Spirit's here for. The Holy Spirit will guide us in the way that we should go, if we'll just ask. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 says, seek first His Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and good name in the sight of God and man. Let's look then at the benefits of truth. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 says this. To the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, if you'll hold to My teaching, you are really My disciples. Then you will what? Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, the whole concept of what Paul is saying here is, if you don't know the truth, then nothing else is going to work. If you don't hold on to the truth of God, then nothing else is going to protect you. Everything about the whole armor of God is based on truth. And we know who truth is. So, when we walk in truth, we begin to walk in freedom. He says the truth will set you free. It'll set you free from punishment. It'll set you free from guilt. And it will set you free from bondage if you'll walk in the truth. You see, when you receive punishment, it's because you're walking in lies. Or if you feel guilty, it's because you've done something you know was not right. Or if you continue to walk in that lane, so to speak, you'll find yourself in bondage because the more you do this, the deeper you go. Jesus says, if you'll live in the truth, you'll be set free. You'll be set free from the bondage that is there, from the punishment that is there, from the guilt that is there. Jesus has set us free from all of those things. So the benefit of the truth is freedom. The benefit of the truth is wisdom. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23 says this, buy the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. In other words, nothing more important. If you want the most important thing that God has for us, you want truth. You want truth. Satan is a liar. This world is based in the secular areas of this world is based on lies. Based on lies. Lies are taught in our schools. You know, we all came from apes. Apes came from amoeba and all of it. No. They didn't. But that's what's taught in our schools. We need to seek wisdom. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 16. These are the things that you are to do. Speak the truth to each other and render true and sound judgment in your courts. Oh, by the way, that's apropos. Unless, of course, you want to pack the court. And then, no, I'm sorry. I'm not going to get into that one. Anyway. So speak the truth. And be ready. Be ready with the truth. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 37. Be dressed ready for service. Keep your lamps burning like servants waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and he will come and wait on them. Are you ready? Ready to speak the truth? Ready to give the answer that God has put within your heart? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one who is approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. God's word. Every single word in Scripture is true. It's the truth of God. The defense of truth. You see, we live in a day of relativity. What some people think is right, other people think is wrong. Or some will even teach you that there really isn't a wrong thing. You can just do what you want to do. And who are we to say to someone else that that's right or that's wrong? It really isn't up to us. It's up to God's Word. And it's already said what's right and what's wrong. So if we stick with God's Word, we will know what's right and what's wrong. Some say you can't know what truth is. Truth by its very nature cannot be relative. Truth is truth. It just is. Remember, the enemy is the father of lies. And so he's going to try to move people towards this area of, hey, it's just all gray area. What's maybe bad for somebody could be really good for you. It's just up to you. There's really no right or wrong. And that's what Satan wants people to believe. And by the way, he's done a fairly good job of that. And lastly tonight, we are then to model the truth. When we put on the belt of truth, when we wear the belt of truth so that others can see it and know what it is, what we're doing is modeling to them we are truthful people. What we say is what we believe with all of our heart. Who we follow is the person that needs to be followed above all. He is the way and the truth and the life. So we must wear this truth so that others can see it and know what it's about. Now, what good would it be for us to tell people that we believe in the Lord and have trusted Jesus as our Savior and yet don't live in truth? What are they going to believe? They're going to believe that what we say is not really true either. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 24. Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." Wouldn't that be a great statement for anybody to say to you? Except if you're a woman, then you could say you're a woman of God in the word. Absolutely. You see, but it's not necessarily what we say that really matters. It's who we are and what we do as well. Because we could say one thing and do other things. It's called hypocrite, right? Two-faced. Psalm chapter 15, verse 2. The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart. The verse before says, blessed is this person. The one who walks is blameless, who does what is righteous and speaks the truth from their heart. In other words, the truth is it comes from within who we are. Psalm 25, verse 5. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Psalm 119, verse 43. Never take your word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. I think it's fairly obvious that when Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, he was saying to them, the very first thing you have to put on, that you have to make sure that you're living in, that you have to make sure that you're walking in, that you have to make sure that you're being guided by, is truth. Anything else is going to negate the rest of it. We have to be people of truth. It's not an option, really. It's not like, okay, God, I'll take truth for $200, but I'm going to go do something else for $500. No. It's not an option. It's truth. We must live in truth. Is that difficult? It is when we live in our own power. Because we don't like to admit when we're wrong. We don't like to, admit if we don't know an answer or whatever. If we live in our own strength, that's exactly what's going to happen. But when we begin to allow the Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit brought to us through Jesus Christ to live in us and to abide in us, and we abide in Him, we can begin to live in truth, and the truth will set us free. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help us, because this is one of the things that is so difficult for all of us in our own strength, because we would rather not admit things. We would rather not always be completely truthful. We'd rather not, because we're afraid it would expose us to other people and they would think less of us or whatever else. But Lord, help us to see things from your perspective. That's what true wisdom is. And so, Lord, when we see it in that perspective, we can understand that truth needs to stand above everything else that we do. It is the thing that holds everything else together. And I thank you, Lord, that you are the way and the truth and the life. Help us, Lord, walk in truth every single day. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks.